Welcome to those who have been here before. Greetings to newcomers. So, of course, the Buddha is known as a great yogi, great practitioner, great rishi. But he was also a prince. He was used to governing, used to working in the political climate of India, along the Nepal-India border. He was in a small but robust kingdom of the Shakyas. There still are Shakyas in Nepal. So I don't know if the store is still in Davis. Hara Shakya was the owner. So the Shakya clan. The Buddha's words weren't just to monks and nuns, but to people engaged in business, engaged in farming, and with merchants, and also with other kings, princes, and political types. He got involved and helped with wars and battles between the different kingdoms or tribes. He mediated some water issues, water rights issues. Perhaps most fundamentally, he was a vocal critic of the existing caste system. Few people tried to kill him. His cousin didn't think he was strict enough. Other people didn't like what he was saying about the caste system. He hung out with disreputable types. One of his students was Angulimala, who was the Indian version of Charlie Manson, or and actually worse than Charlie, maybe Richard Speck or something. And, you know, hung out with courtesans. It's a polite way of saying it. Went to people's houses, had dinner, lunch, hung out. So, like it or not, we're in a political system here, and generally Buddhist groups in the United States can't endorse a particular candidate. We're not supposed to do that as a nonprofit, but we can talk about peace and justice issues without endangering our nonprofit status. Lion's Roar doesn't have a political action committee. but Buddhism from the very beginning has been very involved in peace and justice issues. Before the time of the Buddha, there was no organized or celebrated or condoned group of female yogis. He said, okay, well, everyone can wake up, everyone can become a Buddha, so we can have not only males, but females who can leave home and pursue the same path. It's been difficult for nuns in Asia and also for here in European countries, but it was the Buddha first organized that and said, you know, this is something we're going to do. It was very difficult in India at that time, and still is India, to say, well, no, the women aren't going to stay at home. They can leave. They don't have to be taking care of kids, or they don't have to be taking care of elderly parents. So he was really pushing uphill, and that battle, so to speak, still goes on, but the Buddha was very interested in creating a situation where it wasn't just a few meditators or a few people that got free, got enlightened, or became Buddhas, but that the whole society could become a peaceful and gentle and energetic community. Maybe this should be completely obvious to everybody, right? Hopefully. I'm preaching to the converted, but sometimes people have mistaken meditation and Buddha Dharma for being an entirely introverted practice. I happen to be one of the rare extroverted meditators. there may be one or two other extroverts in the room, and you know who you are. So. I won't make you raise your hand, but you would if I asked. Our teaching lineage, of course, begins with Shakyamuni Buddha, and in India through the successive teachers there, and specifically through one of the main teaching centers, Nalanda, which was in ancient India, and then went to Tibet, and then through a whole lineage of teachers up until the present 14th Dalai Lama, and our temples in that tradition. Lineage is something that people have brought up last couple of days, so I'll talk about that a little later, but the important part in our group here today is I want to specifically, and in general on Sundays for a while, talk about the Kalachakra teachings and lineage. Kalachakra is a Sanskrit word that means time cycles. And it's in the Kalachakra teachings, the Kalachakra Tantra, that are the teachings about the mythical land of Shambhala. Some of us are old enough to remember the Three Dog Night song. No, also Shambhala. So, then the Beastie Boys did one too, right? Anybody know the Beastie Boys? You know. Maybe we'll have our own song. I'm going to pass out a text that I just, with help, put together this week. And we made 20, and then maybe they're not enough, but couples can share. So Patty can hand these out. Or you can split them up or something. That's good. Let's see. I might start singing. Edelweiss. Okay. Yeah. In our lineage of Dharma, we make use of art and creativity and imagination in order to bring about actual change. You can see from the inside of the shrine room, the Gompa here, that we have a lot of paintings and it's colorful. This is meant to wake up the senses and wake up the imaginative world so that we have the energy and the power and the wisdom to make real change in the world. Particularly in our style, we like to visualize it. So, we can say, if you can visualize it, you can do it. It sounds like sports psychology, right? I had a professor at Sac State, Dr. Parrott, I don't know if anybody who was a sports psychologist, and said to me, he said, just visualize the correct formula for statistics and you will pass. And I did. You know, you visualize the formula in front of you. So in our style of Dharma, we do talk about peace and justice and the activities that are ethical, but we also want to visualize what that would actually look like. And visualization in our tradition isn't just visualizing actuality, it's also visualizing things in an archetypal or mythological way. We use the power of fantasy and imagination to bring energy into our system and to inspire us. So the reason I'm saying this is that on the front cover, the front page here, you're looking at Shambhala right there. And it has a ring of mountains, and usually a little stronger, it's separated into sometimes eight petals. So there are also eight kind of spokes of mountains coming out too, mountain ranges. And then there are many villages in the first ring there. And then in the center is Rudra Chakra, the 25th. Kalkan, Lord of Shambhala. Kalkan means holder of the caste, and this king or emperor is supposed to bring complete peace to the world at some point when it comes ready. Right now, with this current political situation, I feel really ready. He's inside of his city, and his palace in his city, and the name of the palace is Kalapa. Kala means time, and pa means place. So he's at the right time and the right place. So you might get one take-home mantra for Kala Chakra is like, can you experience what the right time and the right place is? Are you in the right time and the right place? So in Kala Chakra teachings, we make friends with time and we make friends with place. When we're in samsara or the wheel of confusion or addiction, we'll say something like, I don't have enough time, and I wish I wasn't in Sacramento. I'm so rushing, and I wish I was somewhere else, and I wish I had more time. So, I wish I was on retreat, or I wish I was at Cabo, or, you know, I wish I, you know, could just slow down. That's really being trapped, isn't it? We don't want to be here, and we feel rushed. That is a very stressful, suffering world. So Kala Chakra, literally cycles, time cycles, or time wheels, is epitomized in the central city of Shambhala called Kalapa, which means the right time and the right place. So you need to ask yourself, kind of like a Zen koan, well, what is the right time and the right place? It should be easy answer, right? What's the right time in the right place? Yeah, that's it. Thank you. That was good. This is an easy crowd. Okay, I'm going to do this. Okay. This is a small picture, and it's not easy to see, but there's also in the city, there's a space for a sandalwood park where there's a temple mandala of the Kala Chakra Buddha. I don't think we don't have a Kala Chakra Buddha picture, the Kala Chakra deity sometimes called. And there's another little circle which his throne is enlarged from. So the center of Shambhala, you have a temple situation like this, and then you also have the emperor empress palace. You have two things. It's kind of interesting, right? This separation, a little separation between church and state. This has important symbolic meaning. which I'll go into later. Then when you turn the page, there's Kala Chakra Mandala. It's very, very colorful, and usually when monks do the sand mandala, it's definitely as big as the medicine Buddha mandala we had, and usually bigger. Have many rings of mantras around it, but basically it's like all the mandalas, is that it's an aerial view of the temple. And traditional temples in India had four gates and steps leading up to it. So you see the circle, and then you see the square, and you see the kind of flattened out gates and stairs there. And you enter the gate that's dark there, the eastern gate, and then you would go around a temple clockwise. And at the very center is the Kala Chakra Buddha, the primordial Buddha. I have a Kala Chakra, huge Kala Chakra tantra, like a painting like this, and I brought it out a number of years ago to show Jada Rinpoche, our heart lineage teacher who's in Dharamsala right now, and he looked at it, and looked at it again, and called Geshe Tashi over, and then he said, "It's wrong." No, really? And the artist got the mantras wrong a little bit. It's easy to do, right? So, I mean, there are a few typos in here. I think we got all the typos, but, you know, I always have a little kind of like, oh, typo, but, you know, it's not really a big deal, but it felt a big deal. So I still have the dhanka. I'm not sure what to do with it. Maybe we'll have to, like, have some special, we'll have to paint over it or something, right? No, Susan's making face. I'm just kidding. I don't know. What do you do with the dhanka that has a mistake in it? Yeah. I have something like alternate accommodations, like, yeah. So, a waiver, yeah. So I'd like then to have you turn to the total back, and there's let's call it chakra tenfold, powerful one. It's sometimes that's a symbol of Kala Chakra. The mantras compressed, all put together into one standing mantra like that. So we're going to read this through in a moment, but I want to talk a little bit more about Kala Chakra, and then I'll take a break and do some sitting meditation. To have a vision of enlightened community, gentle community, and to be able to carry that out, we actually have to do the individual yogic practices. We can't just want to be good people or be interested in the cause. We actually also have to manifest as a Buddha ourselves in order to be effective. So that's why we do the yogic practices, to uncover our Buddha qualities and fully awaken. So when we come back to meditation, the idea is that we're here to manifest enlightened society. We're here to wake up from our own suffering and to help other beings. That's the full Bodhisattva path of Kala Chakra. But Kala Chakra has some special practices in addition to what we normally do, and I'm just going to go over those really briefly. Sound good? Okay. It's weird, but we have a symphony inside us. We have a breath rhythm, and you all know how to breathe diaphragmatically by now, right? So there's that breath rhythm, and then there's a heart rhythm. And then we have a brain wave rhythm too, right? Some people maybe did biofeedback back in the 70s, and some people are still doing it, you know, beta, alpha, what's after that, theta, delta, when you're falling asleep, right? So there's actually this rhythm to our thoughts, rhythm to our pattern of thinking and our pattern of paying attention. And in Kala Chakra, we're not just paying attention to one thing or two things, but for today we'll pay attention to three things at once. I'm introducing it this way because so many of the meditations that you're probably used to doing say just pay attention to one thing at a time. Has anybody heard that before? Like one breath at a time, pay attention to one moment at a time. That sounds good, right? Yeah, sounds like you can do it, right? Sounds, oh yeah, I'll just do that. That's, well, that's beginning. One thing at a time actually is not really possible. But I'll save that for later, but even yogically it's not possible. But it is only good as a training when you're in retreat or you're sitting on your cushion safely at home or here, or you're at monastery. Because when you don't have to make any decisions, you don't have to interact with anybody, you can maybe afford to do one thing at a time. Isn't that so? You know, you really can't do one thing at a time. So when teachers, when cleaning myself give that prescription, it's kind of a way of saying, please slow down and try to do less. But in Kala Chakra, which is a completely open tantra, and it's why the Dalai Lama gives it so often, is we're just going to totally tell you that in the real world, you have to pay attention to a lot of things at the same time. You do have to multitask, and you do have to know how to do that. And it's not going to be the case that, okay, just stay in the present. No, you cannot just stay in the present. You do have to think about what you did before, and you do have to plan. You have to be able to actually do many things at the same time. So the Kala Chakra teachings are specifically aimed towards situations and society and communities where we need to interact with a diversity of people and a diversity of situations and constantly have to make decisions. In monastic style or retreat style meditations, the whole idea is you don't want to make any decisions. You want to learn what it's like to simplify and try to do as little as possible, or try to do one thing at a time. In Kala Chakra meditation, which is based for a retreat too, but its teaching is how to do multitask without going nuts. Does that sound like a good idea? Yeah. That's why we're doing this practice. It is based on fundamentals of slowing things down and of being in the present, but it embraces all time, past, present, and future. That's why we call it time cycles. It isn't just be present, but the present is also the past and the future. So briefly, I'm going to say for our meditation period, see, you know, we're paying attention maybe our abdomen moving, our breath going in and out. That's easy, right? I mean, it's hard just to do that too, right? But if possible, pay attention to your heartbeat. So sometimes, put this in. So sometimes when doing this meditation, to get your heartbeat, you, instead of holding your hands like this or on your thigh, you know, you can put your hand on your, you know, take your pulse. Musicians find this easy, right? It's not hard for musicians. They can pay attention to their breathing and their pulse at the same time, right? Yeah, bring it up. So, that's okay. I know. Lamas always do that. It's like, you know, they're always fiddling. So, so you're paying attention to your breath rhythm and your pulse. If you want to feel it through your arm, or you just feel your heart beating. If you drink too much coffee coming here, it makes it easier. No, just kidding. So, but then in Kala Chakra, instead of watching your thoughts, as in kind of beginning practices, as an observer, or even letting the thoughts come and go, we're interested in the cycle or the rhythm of thoughts. For a lot of people, our thought rhythms are really too quick, right? Like, we feel like we're spinning. Actually, that's good news, because it shows we're kind of smart, because our thoughts kind of travel like a big comet, like this. But when they're under a lot of pressure, they spin too fast. Or when they're under a lot of pressure, they're just kind of random popcorn or something. Or they feel like dominoes, like pressured thoughts, you know, hitting each other. But what thoughts actually do is they circle. We're used to, in our society, just going to talk two more minutes, used to our own society reading and the reading world, so we're used to thinking of the thoughts kind of just go like this and then start over again. We're used to thinking of thoughts as linear and flat, right? We're sort of programmed by written word and digital world, but thoughts kind of like they circle. So the circling of the thoughts when it's not under pressure is actually quite very blissful. They're rhythmic. I know you've never heard teaching like this before. Isn't that so? You've never heard this before, have you? No one? Yeah, hold up your hand if you have. Okay. Yeah, that's good. Okay. Okay. So, yeah, because they don't just kind of walk by like ants or something. They're not just going by like dominoes, and they're not random kind of disorganized schizophrenic style, like, you know, popping and all over the place. They're circling. So we have the breath rhythm, which is kind of this spherical movement like this, and then heartbeat, and then there's this big circle movement. Can you pay attention to all three when we come back? It's hard enough on one, right? But actually, from Kala Chakra point of view, it's easier to do everything at once from the correct perspective. So when you have the correct view, which is why I'm talking, you have the view, then when you see how it fits together, like looking at the mandala, when you see the correct view, then you can do it all at once. When you have the right map, it's easy to see how you get there. We'll take like a short break, 10 minutes, and then I'll remind you again, you know. But actually, you'll get you'll get there sooner if you do everything all at once, but you do it slowly. You want to be, we want to be like a glacier. So that kind of just moves slowly ahead. Or you want to be like a military, old military column, where you're marching in line. Usually we're doing things linear, like one, and then we do another one, then we do another thing. So we don't arrive, we don't all arrive at the same place at the same time, because we're thinking linearly. First I'll do this, then I'll do this, then I'll do this. Kalachakra means the right time, the right place, means all of you arrives at the same time. You're not arriving in the sequential thing. It looks easier at first to think I'm doing sequentially, but you want to arrive all together at the same place, the same time. Capisci? Okay. So let's take 10 minutes and stretch, and if you need to flee, you may flee now, and we'll come back. Since we're doing Kalachakra style meditation, we need to do Kalachakra prayer. So you have the text in front of you, and at the end of the prayer, then we put the text down, and then we just do our silent meditation. And again, the silent meditation is doing more than one thing at a time, which we're doing anyway, you know. So you're already doing it, like you are breathing, your heart's beating. You know, we're having our mind cycles, but we're not usually coordinating them all into a balanced way. So if we expand our awareness and find that balance, then it's easy. So if you have the prayer to the Kalachakra path, is by Losang Tupin Chokinima, the sixth Panchen Lama, who somewhere around 500 years ago, I think. O great treasuries bestowing all realizations, supreme gurus embodying all objects of refuge, master of knowledge, beings greater than the gods, I direct my spiritual aspirations to you. Grant me auspicious guidance, blessings, and care. A flash of lightning cuts through the night, illuminating the darkness for but a moment. This human incarnation, too, endures for but an instant. It is rarely found and is easily lost. Accomplished gurus, may I be inspired by this insight and turn my mind always to the enlightened path. Like a stream flowing over a cliff and like the clouds of autumn, our time steadily passes and there is nothing we can do to stop it. May be inspired to generate within my mind stream awareness of this impermanent nature of things, the transient quality of life and samsara. At the time of death, one cannot look for help to friends, relatives, wealth, or possessions. The only companions able then to follow are the karmic seeds of the black and white actions accumulated during one's lifetime, and these are like a shadow trailing the body. May I be inspired to give rise within myself to certain knowledge of the workings of karmic law. To a mind bereft of wisdom, this world of samsara offers little but suffering interspersed with short refrains. Sea monsters of pain ravage the body and mind as one boat tossed in the waves of karma and delusion. May I therefore be inspired to lose interest in the vain fancies of ephemeral pursuits and aspire instead to spiritual freedom. In my countless lifetimes since beginningless time, each living being has often been a mother to me, caring for me then with great kindness, and now they are afflicted with great suffering, unable to endure the thought of their torment. May I be inspired to experience the sublimely meaningful, the aspiration to achieve highest enlightenment, and as the means to become most useful in this world. Vast indeed are the bodhisattva practices, such as the six perfections and the four waves of benefiting trainees. that mature the mind streams of both oneself and others. May I be inspired to step forth with undaunting daring into this great way leading to enlightenment and apply myself single-pointedly to the Bodhisattva path. Having thus trained in the mind methods shared by both the Sutra and Tantra vehicles, one becomes a suitable vessel for tantric practice and enters through the door of the Vajrayana. By receiving the according initiations, having done this, may I be inspired to guard the disciplines and trainings of this tradition and to achieve great proficiency in the yogas of both the generation and completion stages. Especially, may I be inspired to accomplish the meditations of the sublime yogas of the profound tantric path of Kala Chakra, the king of tantric traditions, and thus purify and dissolve all physical materiality, giving rise to the dance of the empty body in union with the great unchanging bliss that in turn induces the highest enlightenment, the state of the primordial Buddha Kala Chakra. I send this prayer to the sublime gurus, embodiment of the three jewels of refuge, regents of Buddha Vajradhara. Whatever comes to me in this lifetime, joy or hardship, things good or things bad, I look only to you for my strength and inspiration. Fervently I focus my attention on you. Prove your compassion to me. We have a few minutes for questions, comments, and complaints. Yes, Steve. They're green energy, I guess, like LED lights or something. Something like that. Green is the karma, usually associated with action, with karma family. You know, vegetation, obviously, and growing. Also, green is associated with wind. So the color of wind in most of the tantric systems is green. I think maybe looking at leaves, you can see the wind, maybe, like that. So green is associated with movement and all accomplishing action, it's called. So enlightened activity, basically, like that. And it's nice you notice that. Yeah, green. Jason. The green thing. Yeah. That's good. Yeah. Yes, Jason. Well, fool yourself till you make it, I guess, right? It's okay, yeah. So that, you know, that's a good, sometimes the pulse is just so immediate, you know, it's really strong, so that's good, yeah. Yes. Oh, good. Yeah. In Vajrayana, Vajrayana means indestructible vehicle. Music and creative and art is really important, along with dance too. In tantric practice, people learn how to do elaborate dances. That takes a lot of training, and we don't really have a dance master here, but so that's one reason why we're doing martial arts. You know, people learn how to be embodied in space like that. Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it? Yeah. Hi. That's great, yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah. Needless to say, we want to be in the center of the thoughts going around, right? When you're off center, it's really difficult. I grew up outside of New York City, and there was this place called Playland. And anybody see the movie Big? That was at Playland. And there was this circular kind of disc thing that went around, and you'd get on it, and then you'd get thrown off, you know, because you're near the edge. But I found that if you get right in the center of it, you can stay there. To my mom's annoyance. So, get off. You know, go. So, yeah, you want to be in the center. That's good you noticed that. So the prayers, if you like, please take them home with you. You know, take a look at it. Or just save the, you know, save it just to look at the pictures. It's helpful. Because both are very, the Shambhala mountains and the mandala have that spherical and circular world cycles. Okay, anything else? Oh, hi. That's a good question. Sandra's asking about political healing. The main thing that most of us are fighting is not that we don't know what we could do, but a sense of sometimes hopelessness, or like, you know, really, we're, you know, like after all we've been through, now this, you know. So you know, the arising, what's called the bodhicitta is the spirit or the energy of awakening. So we have to do things that remind us and inspire us to not be overwhelmed by what Trungpa Rinpoche used to call setting sun. You know, that. So we have to reaffirm that our goodness and the goodness of the world is indestructible, because certainly at times when we feel like everything's kind of like, eesh, you know, we just want to give up. So, you know, we're doing meditations on what's called bodhicitta, which is, I sometimes translate it as falling in love with the world. So didn't, you know, make those aspiration prayers, and then do meditations on everything all at once. So we don't back off, because the main thing with awful stuff is actually we want to just back off and surrender the territory to idiots. So we don't want to do that. We don't want to get discouraged and not participate. So Kala Chakra is really about participating in the world from a balanced international kind of perspective. Yeah, good question. Oh, hi, Tom. Sometimes it's mythologized as the forces of Mara, you know, huge distraction. So how we can stay centered and participate at the same time as the Kala Chakra piece and not to get, you know, thrown off by, you know, small things. But it's easy to get thrown off by small things. And that's why people like in martial arts kinds of things, to distract someone might be to win the match, right? So you're not usually thrown off by just a punch, you know, that you're kind of expecting. You're thrown off by sometimes silly little things, right? Distractions. So stay centered, I guess, is right, but involved. So good luck. So we need to do closing prayer still, and then we have some snacks in the dojo. Through go to the back of the temple, I guess I'd call it. What page are we on? 19.